Hi, we're Steve and Cindy Wright with Marriage Missions International, and this is our Marriage Insight podcast. And this time we're going to be talking and sharing with you about apologies that make a positive difference.
It's important to know that apologies are not created equal. You know, just because you apologize, it doesn't mean that the receiver feels that you really get it as far as how much you hurt them. As a result, they very well may reject your sincerity when you apologize. And when that happens, you are absolutely stunned. I've seen that look in Steve's eyes before, and he's stunned.
Well, here's an example of a case in point by Dr. Gary Chapman. This is something that he witnessed in his office, and he wrote this and shared this. He said, a married couple was sitting in my office when the wife said, I'd forgive him if he would just apologize. The husband responded, I did apologize.
And she said, you did not.
And I told you I was sorry.
That is not an apology, she responded.
And have you ever been in that place, as Dr. Chapman described? You apologize to your spouse, and she says you haven't. Now, I confess that I have been there, and it's very frustrating. But let's face it, most men enter into marriage without a clue as to what it means to make a sincere, effective apology.
Or maybe your spouse says he or she apologized and you just don't see it that way. You feel that there's a disconnect in the sincerity of their apology. And I think that that was the biggest thing with Steve, is I just didn't feel like it was sincere. So now you both feel misunderstood and you both feel frustrated. And you know, this happens with a lot of couples. Often, it's not easy to know what the other spouse expects as far as an apology. We think that it should come natural, but it doesn't. Many, and actually, most spouses don't approach and receive apologies in the same way. Mm-hmm. As a result, many apologies just go flat, and it doesn't register with the offended spouse. Apologizing is a difficult thing to do the right way. You would think it's natural, but it's not. We had to learn this. You say, you know, I've already said I'm sorry. What more does she or he want from me? Or I said I'm sorry once. That should be enough. Or I give up. What more can a human being do to make him or her understand that I'm sorry? We have heard each one of those excuses. We've probably given each one of those excuses ourselves. The what more that can be done is being sorry enough and caring enough that you make sure that your spouse knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that you truly get it as far as how much you hurt him or her. You need to guard against being one that gives an apology that equals maybe a handful worth of sorrow when your spouse feels like you've piled a bucket full of hurt onto him or her. Sometimes we can just dump all this hurt and we think sorry should be enough. You may know that you're sorry, that you're truly sorry, but does your spouse perceive it that way? It's important to give what they need, not what will satisfy you. Your spouse approaches this matter differently than you do. So if that's the case, you need to make extra and a sincere effort in trying to meet your spouse's needs. After all, and this is the question, who is the apology for? Is it for you or is it for your spouse, the one that you've hurt? You have to realize that if you're giving an apology, it's like you're giving a gift, your sorrow that you have hurt them. So when you give a gift, who are you giving the gift to? Are you giving the gift to yourself or are you giving the gift to your spouse? You have to come to the point of realizing they may not accept the gift for the way that you're giving it. Or could it be that you're giving your spouse your type of fix for the situation so that you can just get it all behind you? We've seen this so much in marriage missions. We have different ones that come on and say, you know, I apologize to my wife for this and she just won't get over it. I just want to move on. I just want to move on. Yes, you want to move on. And sometimes a spouse will prolong it too long. But on the other hand, don't be so quick. Again, you have to make sure that the fix is that the apology is for your spouse, not for you. That may meet your needs, but does it meet the needs of the offended spouse? Also, Is your apology one where you go the extra mile? It talks about this in Matthew 5:41. Now, when they went the extra mile, it was actually for their enemies. And hopefully your spouse isn't your enemy. But sometimes you have to go the extra mile in making sure that your apology really does register with them. I had to do this once in our, more than once, I should say. I've had to do this often in our marriage, but I can think of one time in particular. And this is kind of an embarrassing situation, but I'll say it. So Steve, earlier in our marriage, used to think that it was a cool idea that he would go somewhere and he would hide, and then I'd walk by and he'd jump out and scare me. It never worked well with me. I was raised with two brothers. I'm not into scaring at all. Well, this one time he was in a closet and I walked in and he was hiding behind some clothes and he jumped out. Automatically, what I did was, I didn't even realize it was Steve when I did it. I slapped him across the face. It didn't even register that it was Steve that did it. It was just an impulse. And of course, he was shocked, and I was shocked that I even did that. So we both talked about it. I said, Steve, don't ever do that to me. You know, women don't like people jumping out at them. And we went through that whole thing, and I thought it was resolved. But later, I saw that he wasn't acting the same. And I said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And he wasn't. Eventually, what happens was we talked about it again. He said, it really hurt my feelings when you slapped me across the face. Well, I started justifying it. I said, do you realize you scared me? I mean, you're the one who hurt me, and I'm supposed to apologize to you for slapping across the face? I didn't do it because it was you. I did it because I was scared. And again, I justified it, and I said, you know, you're the one. It's you. And so I thought it was resolved. We stopped talking, went on, and a few days later, it came up again, and I thought, what is this? You know, he jumps out and scares me, and I'm the one to apologize. And the Lord really, really, really talked to my heart and said, you know, the point is his feelings are hurt. Whether you understand it or not, you hurt his feelings. He wasn't expecting that from you. You're not that type of person. And when you did that, it shocked him so much. And he just needs you to say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. So I went to Steve and we talked about it. And then I got it. I really got it. I saw, oh my gosh, it doesn't matter whether I understand it or not. What matters is his feelings were hurt. I was the one who had caused it. Even though I had done it, self-defense, whatever, the reasoning doesn't matter. It's the hurt that matters. So you have to realize that sometimes you have to go an extra mile. You may not understand why, but you know that your spouse is hurt, and somehow that has to resolve. So do you show sincere remorse and willingness to do what it takes to help heal the damage that you've inflicted upon your spouse? There is a difference when you give a sincere apology instead of a, like a child does, sorry. Kind of apology.
If your apology is made to appease you and make your life easier, you're giving what you believe is enough, it probably is not going to work. It may even introduce more frustration, more anger and grief into the whole matter. The emphasis needs to be on the receiver, not the giver. This is the type of situation where it definitely is more blessed to give than to receive. If you're truly sorry for what you've done, just like what Cindy said, then you need to express it in a way that opens his or her heart. It means getting out of your comfort zone, and you must be willing to enter into theirs. You may not be comfortable with the questioning that comes when you confess your sorrow, but you have to be willing to allow them to deal with the healing process in a way that works for them. All of this might not make sense to you, but if it satisfies your spouse and brings rest to the issue, then that's all part of the price that you should be willing to pay. Even if you never meant to hurt your spouse, don't let that stop you from apologizing as you should. You have to deal with the reality of the situation. as an example, I mean, if you were to run over your spouse's foot with an automobile, even though you did it by accident, it still hurts them. And you should make sure that they know how sorry you are for hurting them.
And that kind of goes with the point of my slapping you across the face. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't know.
It was a reflexive action.
But on the other hand, it did hurt you. And I have to acknowledge that it did hurt you and that I need to be sorry that I did hurt you for my part of all of that. And you apologized for your part in it. We really talked it through. And trust me, he does not jump out at me anymore.
Uh-uh.
He learned that lesson very much. But it comes down to, for your part of it, you need to be sorry.
Absolutely.
We say all this because we've battled with this issue for a number of years until we finally had our aha moments. I think this is such a huge point for couples until they really get this as far as apologizing and each other's way of accepting apologies and that. I just think there's always going to be this missing part in their marriage. We finally got it as far as what a sincere apology involves.
And I remember we were in a conference a number of years ago, a marriage conference that Cindy and I attended, when I had my first really big aha moment on how important these apologies are. They were sharing, in fact, the whole topic was this, how to give an apology that isn't a sincere apology. And I was really under conviction as the speaker was sharing with us. And we were to break up as a couple, and because there were a lot of people in the room, and we were supposed to break up as a couple and give an apology. And I knew exactly what it was that I needed to come to Cindy and confess and really apologize sincerely. Early in our marriage, there was a relative in our family that did just about everything she could to try and sabotage the relationship and divide Cindy and me with my parents. And they did this over and over and over again. And I never stood up for Cindy at that time. I just kind of shrunk into the background and I kind of just let it hang out there and figured, oh, it's just going to go away. Well, over the years, this individual actually came to Christ and confessed that they were doing these things intentionally. But I still had never really apologized to Cindy. But when we were in this conference,
the apology was that you didn't stand up for me.
And that's what it came down to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that, I came to Cindy in that conference with tears in my eyes, and I confessed to Cindy that I had for so long just let this slide, and I never really came to her and asked for her forgiveness for that and made a real sincere apology to her that she really felt that I got behind her eyes. And that's what it really takes, is to get behind the individual's eyes to see that situation the same way they saw it or see it, and then make the apology fit the pain that they really have been experiencing. And that was my aha moment.
I saw that he got it. It wasn't a quick sorry kind of thing and, oh, I should have done that, or, you know, yeah, you're right, I should have stuck up for you. Or I saw pain in your face and I knew it registered. You felt my pain, and as a result of that, you gave a sincere apology. And then I just wanted to fall all over you at that point because you got it. You got it. I was just like, oh my God, he really gets it. He mm-hmm. really gets how much this has hurt me for so long that he has shrunk back and not stood up for me all this time. And since that point, he started applying those same principles when he would apologize for small things and big things, that he would try to get behind my eyes, whether he understood it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He really did try to get behind my eyes and go, oh, this is, yeah, okay. So I'm going to make sure that she realizes that I am sorry that I did that. I don't, and I know that with you, you don't ever, ever want to hurt me. And
never.
I know that.
Never, never.
And you know that's true of me.
Absolutely.
Although there are times.
Yeah.
I'm kidding here. So anyways, what we're going to do is give you some of the how-tos of apologies. The first set is from author Janice Abrams Springs, and she gives the following advice when you need to apologize. First off, she says, take responsibility for the damage you caused. Again, it doesn't matter whether you intended to or not. Take responsibility for the damage you caused. 2, make your apology personal. You know, you're apologizing to your wife, you're apologizing to your husband. Make it personal. And make your apology specific. Don't say, sorry, like a child does, you know. I want you to apologize to your brother for what you did. Sorry. Oh, what are you sorry for? I hit him. Okay, tell them that you're sorry you hit them. Okay, sorry I hit you. And that's the next point. Also, make your apology deep. Apologize for the whole truth of what you did. And make your apology heartfelt. When they realize that you really do care and that you really get it, it makes a difference. And make your apology clean. No buts or qualifications. Well, if you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. Like I did with the slapping of your face. Well, if you wouldn't have jumped out at me, I wouldn't have done that. That wasn't much of an apology. What that was just qualifying and quantifying what I did. Instead, it's like, I did. I snapped and I slapped you. And I'm sorry. Again, I don't ever want to hurt you. I'm really sorry. You make it on that. And then here's another point. Apologize repeatedly if needed. Now, you may think, okay, I apologized once, then that should be enough. And we'll get into that in a few seconds. But what it comes down to, if you need to do it more than once, oh my goodness, do this. This is your life partner. Don't be stingy in your apologies.
On the same issue, the following is a question of the week that was emailed to us that was sent a number of years ago by Dr. Gary Smalley's Ministries. And these tips really helped us a lot. And if you need to change the pronouns, please do so. But the concept works either way. The question was, my wife is very sensitive and she says that I'm not. She feels that my apologies are obligatory, but they're not heartfelt. When I hurt her feelings, I want to make it right, but I often fumble over my words. How can I apologize and convince her that I mean it?
Do you ever relate to that? You said that to me.
It's like I'm looking in the mirror.
Fumbling over my words here. Steve spoke for a living. He was in Christian broadcasting for so many years, but when it comes to apologizing, all kinds of fumbling going on. But I'm the same way.
Well, here's what Smalley went on to say in his answer. He said the following are just a few thoughts for crafting great apologies. 1, put some thought into it. He says, we're told in the Bible, there is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. That's Proverbs 29:20. Your spouse will know sincerity of your apology by the amount of thought that you've given to it. 2, focus on your spouse's feelings, not issues. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. 1 Corinthians 8:1. And he says resolution focuses on the issue, but reconciliation focuses on the relationship. You want to go beyond just resolving the issue. You want to be able to get to the place of reconciling with each other as marriage partners. Let your spouse know that your marriage is more important than the disagreement. And then 3, become a great wordsmith. Now, this can become difficult. This takes practice. Believe me, this doesn't happen in a week or two.
Yeah, you don't have a script writer.
That's right. You don't have a script writer. So he says, become a great wordsmith. What he means by this is pick great, meaningful words. We're told in the Bible, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. Proverbs 16:24. And then Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then the fourth point that he made is this, remember, less is often more. And then he says, remember this, fire goes out for lack of fuel, Proverbs 26:20. 2, in Proverbs 10:19, don't talk too much, for it fosters sin. Be sensible and turn off the flow. And then in Proverbs 17:27 and 28, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his own tongue.
Now, that doesn't mean the silent treatment.
No.
That's a different thing.
No.
That just means not saying too many words.
That's right. And then, you know this one probably too, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And hopefully these will help you move from repetitive and programmed to meaningful and heartfelt apologies.
Now there's more. So we got another email at a later date from Gary Smalley. And here's the question that he had posed to him. My wife says that I am one of the fastest apologizers she knows. She says the speed and repetition of my apologies voids the sincerity. She believes that when I say I'm sorry, it's just to get out of a fight. I can't win. Any suggestions? And I remember Steve saying that to me several times. I can't win in this. And then we'd sit back and we go, okay, there's no winners when in the marriage when one of us wins and the other loses. Mm-hmm. So let's find a way in which we can make this work. We can marry this together.
Yeah, the objective should not be to win
That's right.
It should be to gain understanding and also sincerity in your apology.
So both of you feel better, and as a result, the marriage wins. So here's the answer that Gary gave. He said, again, become a great wordsmith. You know, and if your spouse is not a great wordsmith, it's not a natural thing, then give them some grace there. But try your best. If you're the one doing the apology, try your best to be a great wordsmith. Find new words to say, I'm sorry. When you use the right words, loving words, you change the atmosphere of your relationship. Gary refers to Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. And so is a good apology. So put some thought behind your apology. Be specific. As Gary says, instead of a simple, I'm sorry, make it more of a complete sentence like, I'm sorry for snapping at you in the car earlier, or I'm sorry for being late again. Here's two more. I'm going to try harder to get home on time. I'm really sorry that I was late. Or I'm sorry for being an idiot earlier. I should never have done that. I am so sorry. When you give the reason for your apology, you communicate that you understand the frustration. The hidden marriage manual in every woman knows when the apology is given to claim the hurt or simply to smooth something over. She knows. She knows when you're just trying to get past it and shuffle out the door. We all need to learn how to settle the accounts quickly, but do it with clarity of thought.
Stephen Stosny is a counselor, and he wrote an article called How to Give a Sincere Apology, and these are a few of his own tips.
Now, Stephen works with a lot of abusers, so
yeah.
this is serious stuff. He knows about apologies and the seriousness of it.
He said, the primary purpose of an apology, according to Stosny, is to restore eventual, not necessarily immediate, connection. And it is never to defend your ego.
And that's because sometimes it takes a while to get to that place. And that has happened with Steve and I. You know, Steve will say, are we okay? And I'll say, not quite yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to get to that place. Just give me a little bit of time on this. Because I know it's important. The Bible tells us to forgive. But sometimes I don't experience that right away, but I need to work on my part of doing it. If he is sincere in giving his part, I need to be sincere in receiving my part.
Right. Well, here's what Stosny says. Apologies must not be contingent on your partner apologizing. Number two, they must not be tempered by excuses. Number three, apologies must not have any element of blame. Own what you did. And then fourthly, he says, apologies must not seek immediate forgiveness. He says, trust must be restored gradually through the behavior that demonstrates trustworthiness over time.
And sometimes it does take a while.
It does.
I mean, let's face it, if you did something that really, really hurt my feelings, I've got to see, over time, is he going to do this again? Mm-hmm. Is he really sincere here? And that builds a little bit, you know, a little bit slower.
Well, he goes on to say, here's what apologies must. He says, they must come from your core value and sympathize with the effect of your behavior on your partner. You have to focus on what it meant to your spouse, not on how you would have been affected by it. Secondly, state how important your partner's well-being is to you. And third, state how sorry you are that you've done something to hurt your partner and or break your connection with them. Fourth, offer recompense. How can I make it up to you? If the offense is recurring, describe an action plan that prevents future repetition of the offending behavior. That which violated your core value to the extent that it hurt your partner or your relationship.
Now, we want you to know that you're listening to the podcast now, but we have the written of this. So you might think, oh, I can't remember all that stuff. You know, actually, we need to be students of marriage. And this stuff doesn't come natural. Steve and I know a lot of this because we study a lot of it. We've gone to seminars for a lot of it. We've lived it in our marriage. So there's a lot of that. So if you need to go to the written on our website, please know that it's there. Plus, we have a lot more links on all of this. So here's the other part. Did you know that men and women often approach apologizing differently? And it does happen. Pastor Mark Gunger explains this. And I wish that I could say it in the way he says it, because he's so
he's
funny.
He's hilarious.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. He's so funny. He says, in my Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar, I explain how a man's brain tends to compartmentalize things. It's like men have separate boxes in their heads for everything. There's a separate box for money, sex, a separate box for kids, a separate box for wives, in-laws, etc. And for a guy, these boxes don't touch. He thinks about one thing at a time, and then he moves on to the next, since one box isn't connected to another. And it's hard to explain this way. And then, Mark says, then I go on to explain how a woman's brain is like a big ball of wire where everything's connected to everything and there's no compartmentalizing. Money can be connected to the in-laws, and sex can be connected to the kids, and things run together very easily in a woman's brain. These two very opposite ways of thinking and processing cause men and women to communicate in different ways. And oh my goodness, when we discovered this, it's just amazing to me, you know, the bells and whistles that went off in our heads. Mm-hmm. And then he says, but there is one area, this is particularly evident and often problematic, the apology. Again, men have this unique ability to compartmentalize. So a guy can go from his apology box and say he's sorry for that he had done something, and then he can close that box and then move on to the next task. And in his mind, he just checks it right off. He took care of it. He was sorry, so it's done and life goes on. But that is just not so for the woman. And I didn't get that earlier in our marriage. I'd think, how could he think that it's all done? I mean, I didn't understand that. But it was in his mind, got it through it. I took my tough medicine and now I can move on. And for me, it's like, No, not done yet. Just not done, because it affected this area and affected that area and affected this area, which kind of drained Steve of a lot of energy. I couldn't understand how he could walk away from problems when they weren't resolved, but he could. So I learned to recognize that he's different, and somehow we can bridge our differences, but they will always be there. There's always going to be some different problems. There's always going to be some differences. There's always going to be a different angle of how he approaches it, and I approach it completely different. So we work with them, especially as it comes to how we give and receive apologies. But we're learning how to work with the mystery of marriage. Remember, the Bible talks about marriage being a mystery, and it is a mystery. How do you take two very, very different people and make it work? You marry your ideas. You take some of this and some of that, and you do that. So I want you to recognize that, again, we do come at it from different ways. And I also want you to know that Mark gave this generalization there. Not all men approach it that way, and not all women approach it that way. Sometimes a woman's brain compartmentalizes everything, and the man's brain connects everything. As Mark says, I get that. I know that. Sometimes it happens. But you know, it helps to know how your spouse's brain works with this. We do have a link to an article that Mark had written on this particular subject, and the title of it is called I Said I Was Sorry, and I recommend that you read it.
What's really important here from what Cindy has shared about what Mark Gunger said about our differences is that differences don't mean we get a free pass, okay? Yes, I'm different. I think and process differently than Cindy does, so therefore she should understand that and just know that if I say I'm sorry, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't have to really go in more. Nope, that's not how it goes. Because when we apologize, we need to take responsibility for our actions. Plus, it's important to say more than a simple, I'm sorry, and expect all the consequences of our actions to disappear. We may want them to disappear, but that's not usually what's going to happen. Also, it's important to explain and to show just how much we regret for what we said or did. We have to go the extra mile on that one. After all, if we hurt our spouse, a quick Band-Aid solution can come across as not genuine. Additionally, we need to give a short reason for what we did or said in the first place. It may have been a stupid thing that you did or said without thinking, but be mature enough to admit it. This doesn't excuse your actions. It just gives clarification behind them. And please don't allow your original reasons to overshadow the hurt that you caused.
Sometimes we can get caught up in our reasons behind why we did it, and we forget the only reason we're giving it is for clarification.
It is.
That's it.
And here's an important point. The focus should be on your sorrow for hurting your spouse, not justifying why you did or said that something that hurt him or her. And then you make sure that you express the reason you're sorry. I know that I hurt you, and I never want to do that. I know I was wrong, and I should have never done or said that. And then finally, it's important to tell your spouse how you'll change that type of behavior in the future. Then make sure you follow through on this remedy or remedies as part of your apology.
And also realize your spouse may stumble.
and fall
just as we stumble and fall. The Bible talks about that we all stumble and we all fall. We need to give grace. And I've heard this so many times, and I've actually said it so many times. How come we have to keep going over the same issue over and over and over again? It's because we stumble and we fall. The thing is that I look at Steve and I realize he didn't mean to do that again. He just did it. And it was just a stupid thing, just as sometimes I do stupid things. And I don't mean to do them, but then I just end up doing it. And it's like, I did that again. I can't believe I did that again. But I need to go back and apologize. So if your spouse sincerely apologizes to you, be gracious. Accept the apology. And then afterward, ask your spouse, are we okay? So you gave the apology and you went through the whole thing. Then just turn to them and say, are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something more that I need to say here? Is there something more that you need? Now, especially with guys, they want to cut bait and run. They don't want to prolong this. It's like, oh no, it might go another hour. So women, be gracious and don't make it another hour if you can help it. I mean, obviously, if your spouse has committed adultery, I mean, there are certain issues that are big and you're going to need to visit them more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But look at them and say, are we okay? Are we okay? And then listen to what your spouse says. And as I said, sometimes I'll look at them and I'll go, not quite yet. But we will get to that place, because then I know it's my responsibility to take it to the Lord and get to that place. So make sure you say that. You know, your spouse may or may not think so. If your spouse feels that way, then work on that. it's not good to assume that everything's good between you when it isn't. You know, you might think, okay, I did it. No. It may not be at a good place. What good is an apology if your spouse is not feeling good afterward? So we want you to know that on our website, in the written form of this, we have several articles that we have linked to it. And you might go, oh, okay, this was enough. Well, maybe it's enough for you, but studying this may help you to fine-tune what your spouse needs. We call it the gleaning principle, a little of this, a little of that, whatever works for your particular marriage. So we have, for example, there's one particular article that we link to by Christian psychologist Phil Monroe, and he answers the question, what makes a good apology? And it's really a good one. And then Dr. Gary Chapman gives more info on this. He has an article that we link to, Learn Your Spouse's Language of Apology. And again, it's a really good article. And then lastly, we have a link on there written by Ellie Grant, where she gives husbands a guide for apologizing to address your wife's pain after adultery in this particular article. And it's called How to Apologize for Breaking Your Wife's Heart. Now, there may be women that need to apologize for breaking their husband's heart, but it's a good one that maybe you can get some principles there. In all of this, it's important to note that a repentant spirit is a healing balm to breaking the cycle of blame in a marital relationship. The entire life of a Christian is one of continual repentance because we're sinning continually. Repentance is a prerequisite for reconciliation, since a change of ways has to occur to heal grievances. And Dr. Randall Schroeder wrote that particular quote. And I think it's so important that we recognize reconciliation is that we have to change our ways and so that they will occur to heal the grievances. And that is the point of it. We're trying to heal the grievances.
In closing, we really do hope, Cindy and I both hope, that you will realize that after conflicting with your spouse, an apology is a good way to have the last word. You know, we always say, I want the last word in the argument. And you think you win. Well, there are no winners anyway. But you think about that statement again. An apology is a good way to have the last word. Well, that is going to do it for this Marriage Insight. But we do have a reminder for you. In our next Marriage Insight podcast, we're going to actually be talking about how we can gracefully give and gracefully receive an apology.
And we also, what if the spouse doesn't receive the apology? What if the spouse isn't going to forgive you? We're going to cover that too.
Yeah, we hope you'll tune in next time. But we also have a reminder for you that if you would like to hear other podcasts that we've done, past Marriage Insights, or if you're looking for more help for your marriage, just go to our website. Very simply, it is marriagemissions.com. Now, Cindy and I also wrote the book called 7 Essentials to Grow Your Marriage. It's available both in electronic and print form. And if you would like a good resource to help build your own personal marital team, or maybe give it as a gift to a couple that's getting married to help them get off on the right foot, it's a great book for you to give to them. So for more information on all of this, just go to the website. Again, it is marriagemissions.com. So until the next Marriage Insight podcast, we are Steve and Cindy Wright, hoping that you are going to make it your mission to reveal and reflect the heart of Christ within your marriage.